On a phone line is Ron Charles. He's the Washington Post book critic. I say give a book. I have books on my list for a lot of people this year. Ron, you're on WGN Radio. How are you?
And, you know, most books are less than $4,000.
Imagine that. Think of all the books you could get for $4,000.
Yeah, I would say 80.
A lot. Are you an 800? Old school guy? Do you like the hardback or the paper version, or do you read them digitally?
I've tried, but I have to have the book in front of me. You know, I have to turn the pages. Yeah.
And make notes. I don't know if other people do this, but I...
Exactly.
I underline things, highlight things, notes about it, you know, as...
Yeah.
Well,
that's been my problem. I mean, I've tried, but no, I have to have the book.
I'm glad to hear that. At WashingtonPost.com, you can find your list. There's several of them. Best books of the year. You've got them in categories. We'll plow through some of them here. Do you mind?
No, not at all. It's what I love to do.
Best books of 2018. So hit me with a couple. What jumps out if I said that?
I think one book your readers might like is called A Place for Us by Fatima Farin Mirza. It's a really beautiful story about a Muslim family in California dealing with trying to acculturate to America, trying to deal with the kids, you know, who want to live in a different way than the parents. I really learned a lot about the Muslim faith and about what it means to be an American. I thought it was just beautifully done. And the author isn't even 30 years old.
Wow. I'm looking at your review of that here. Or the review of it that you've shared. You also, I was glad to see, have Susan Orlean's The Library book on the list. She was in our studio not that long ago, and we're all fans of hers here. And that's really an interesting, quirky book, isn't it?
Isn't she a delight? Yeah, the New Yorker writer, Susan Orlean. That is a really wonderful book. If you know anyone who loves books or is a bookish person, they'll enjoy this. It doesn't matter, man or woman. It's a true crime story about a fire that destroyed something like a million books in 1986 in L.A. And Susan goes after this crime and who might have started it and just digs into the whole mystery of what happened that day, you know, to destroy so many valuable books. But then every other chapter, after she looks farther back and starts to investigate, how did we get libraries in America? You know, where did they come from? And she even profiles some early American librarians, and they're really, as you might expect, quirky, funny, smart, strange people. I just thought it was a delight.
Yeah, that's The Library book by Susan Orlean. One Person, No Vote, How Voter Suppression is Destroying Our Democracy. Did you include a lot of political books in your list?
Yeah, we do, because you might expect readers of the Washington Post are very interested in politics here in the nation's capital, so we're pretty attentive to political books and biographies of political figures, that sort of thing. This is a fascinating book, and of course, it was of much discussion during the last election. How have laws since the Voting Rights Act of 1965, how have laws been structured to keep certain groups of people from voting or from getting to the polls or from making them feel like they can't vote and participate in democracy? This is one of those books that you read and you just are filled with anger and maybe even a little despair about, you know, the greatest democracy on earth that still can't seem to figure out how to conduct elections.
By the way, we'll get to fiction in a second, but since we're on that topic, then let's just look at the 50 notable works of nonfiction and the top 10 that you all posted. Air Traffic, A Memoir of Ambition and Manhood in America. Now, I haven't read this one. What's this one about?
I'm switching over here as fast as I can. Oh, the memoir by the poet. Yes, this is a wonderful book by Gregory Partlow. His father was laid off by Reagan during the air traffic controller strike, and he writes about the effect that had on his life and his father's life. And, you know, he's this wonderful award-winning poet, and here he is turning to the subject of what it was like to grow up in that home. It's a very beautiful book, and a lot of readers will enjoy that, I think.
The Apprentice, Trump, Russia, and the Subversion of American Democracy by your colleague Greg Miller, who jumped on with us again the other day. I've read a lot of these books. I told him this last week, and I'll tell you, of the political books I've read this season, I think his may be the best. The reporting, the research on that is amazing, and he's a good storyteller, too.
Yeah, we have the best political reporters here, and Greg is one of them. And you know, sometimes you can feel overwhelmed with the daily stories about the Russia crisis or controversy and Trump and what's going on, and you just feel like you'll never figure it out. A book like this lays it out for you and explains it. It's invaluable right now if you're feeling overwhelmed, as I think many of us are.
And it's just fascinating. I mean, so, like, how do we know who hacked who, when, and what? And, like, he's like, oh, no, the CIA, I think it was watching hackers hack, and they still do sometimes, without exposing them so that they can see who they are, what they're doing, and how they're doing it. And a lot of this was going on during the election. And then the questions are, who do you tell? When do you tell them? What do you tell them? What do they do with that information? What if they don't do anything with that information? And it feels like it could have been written yesterday. The book is called The Apprentice, Trump, Russia, and the Subversion of American Democracy. You also include a book that I really enjoyed this year, Bad Blood, the story about Theranos. What an amazing story that one is, right?
And we just posted a story about Bill Gates' favorite books of the year, and that is one of them.
Okay. That's by who wrote that? John Carreyrou, and it's about
right.
Theranos. And what's the woman's name that started the company? Oh, Elizabeth something. But it's about the company Theranos. It's about all of the promise homes. It's about all of the promise that it had, but what a scam ultimately it turned out to be. That book is called Bad.
Yeah, and it turns out to be about American business and the stock exchange and the way we approve drugs. It seems like it's just about one company, but it's actually about a whole system that we live under.
Yeah, no kidding. Give me another book you like from the list of notable books in 2018 nonfiction.
Nonfiction. My wife has been reading Educated to Me, and it is so good. This is a memoir by Tara Westover, another one of, it's also a favorite of Bill Gates. She was raised by Mormon survivalist parents. Way off the grid. She ends up going to Harvard and Cambridge and getting a PhD, and she writes about, you know, the experience of coming into knowledge, of coming into, you know, modern society and living with these people and still loving these people who sometimes behave in really terrible ways. It's just a fascinating story. True story.
And that book has been on the list, on the bestseller list, all year long. It's been, and I keep seeing that and keep thinking I've got to get to it, and I haven't, so I will dig into that one. Have you gotten through Michelle Obama's book yet?
I have not, but boy, many people have. We wrote a story on Friday that she'd sold 2 million copies in the last 15 days.
Yeah, she sold one to me, and I may have gone. It's a good book. It's, you know, and listen, I'm in Chicago. Not that, and she and I are of similar age, not that I have a lot in common with Michelle Obama, and I sure didn't grow up on the South Side, but as a person who cares deeply about Chicago, I'm really glad to see her write about the city from her perspective. So while it's a great story about her and Barack, et cetera, if you're a Chicagoan, I think you will enjoy this book regardless of your politics. Easier for, you know, Obama's and fans and Democrats to enjoy it, but you'll enjoy it from the telling of a story about Chicago.
Yeah, she has very, very broad appeal. Now, she was in Chicago, right? She did an appearance there.
Yeah, she and Oprah sold out the United Center. And they didn't even play.
You didn't get a ticket?
I did not.
No ticket?
I did not. How about, can we skip over to fiction for a second and tell us some of the books on the fiction side that you've enjoyed this year? Maybe if folks are getting here's a recommendation or two. In fact, let's do this. Elif said, take a quick break, so let's just pause briefly. If you've got a book that you loved or want to know about, 312-981-7200. But we're just looking at the list from the book's editor at the Washington Post, Ron Charles. And 312-981-7200 is the number. We got just a couple more minutes, but let's continue to spend them with Ron Charles, the Washington Post book critic. They've got a nice list of, in a variety of categories, books that you might want to read or give as gifts now that we're here in December. And I was asking you about some fiction, Ron. What jumps out to you on the fiction side?
Gary Steingart has a very funny, moving book called Lake Success, about a hedge fund manager whose career is collapsing, who's got troubles with his marriage, and so he jumps on a bus and decides to go find an old girlfriend. It's a pretty funny, moving book. about a guy trying to figure out who he is.
I like the sound of that. Can you give me another one?
The Great Alone by Kristen Hanna. Really exciting story about a young girl. I think she's 14. Her family moves to Alaska, and they're going to, you know, start again and enjoy the outdoors. But the dad has a drinking problem. He has some psychological problems, and they are not at all prepared for the winter up there, and it goes really, really badly. Very exciting story, The Great Alone.
Wow. What about thrillers? You got anything on that side for folks that like the page-turners?
Yeah, a guy named Nico Walker, who's still in prison for bank robbery, has written a story about his life called Cherry. And it's fictionalized, but he pretty much tells the story of what it was like to be a drug addict, to go to Iraq, to come home, and to have to start robbing banks to feed his habit. It's a remarkable story by a guy who, you know, lived it.
I'm turning pages here. Oh, yeah, The Reckoning by John Grisham. You guys liked that, didn't you?
Yeah, it's amazing. He, book after book, you know, the guy really does a great job.
Yeah, I was thinking, oh, maybe they're past that. Like, you guys won't include that because that's a little, you know, too easy. But
no,
I'm glad to see a John Grisham book's on the list.
If he's good, sure, exactly. There's another one by a woman named Tayari Jones. The readers might know this because Oprah has been talking about this. She wants to make a movie out of it. It's called An American Marriage. It's about a black couple that gets married, and pretty early in their marriage, the husband is accused of rape and imprisoned, but we know he didn't do it. And so this couple has to deal with what does it mean to be apart for 10 years. The husband's in prison. The wife is trying to, you know, keep herself together on the outside. Very exciting story, An American Marriage by Tayari Jones.
You'll just see the full list. I don't have time to go through them all or ask you about them all here, but Children of Blood and Bone, Conscience, Crudo, The Female Persuasion, Flights, some of these you've mentioned already, Florida, French Exit, Fruits of the Drunken Tree, There, sure sounds like an intriguing, you know, idea for.
Yeah, I love that book.
I didn't know about that one, but it's set in Oakland,
California.
Well,
he's brand new.
Yeah. Go ahead, tell me just a little bit about that.
He's a debut author. He's a Native American, and he writes this incredible novel about Native Americans who live around Oakland, California, and are trying to live their lives. Some are doing okay. Some are not doing well at all. And the whole thing centers around this powwow at the Oakland Coliseum that's coming up. And, you know, some of them think of it as a real spiritual moment and retreat, but others are planning a terrible crime, and they all come together in a spectacular conclusion. That's called, it has an odd title, There, by Tommy Orange.
Wow. Hey, this is fun, and it's maybe something you and I should do a little more often. We talk to a lot of authors on this show. I read a few books and share details of them with my listeners, but maybe you and I should put our heads together once in a while.
I would enjoy that anytime, please.
Ron, well done. Remember, go to WashingtonPost.com. What's the /on that? I guess just search books for you guys, huh?
Search books. It's pretty deep under entertainment.
Follow Ron on Twitter. He's got a great Twitter feed, too.
Oh, there's Steve Bertrand. No kidding.
No, thank you.
All right. That's all good to
thank
know.
You.
Thanks for your time, Ron. Well done.